بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات
الله صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
First of all, I would like to congratulate the Imam of the time on the birth of his grandfather, Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi
salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, Ramadan Mubarak to you and the Wiladat of our Imam, for all the mu'mineen in here and everywhere else who are happy on this day for this glorious event. Since this is the month of Ramadan, and we ask Allah that on this night He makes us gain as many blessings as we can in this month.
Inshallah. Ameen.
One of the reasons that we are able to do so much more in the month of Ramadan is fasting. And this is an obligation that has so much power in it that shaitan feels helpless to work to misguide the people who are fasting. That's why he gives up in the month of Ramadan. That's why it's said that he's locked up in a jail. It's not actually a jail, it's the fact that it's so difficult for him to misguide people while they're fasting. So he doesn't even try at all. He just goes away and relaxes and waits until it's finished. He knows that, you know, it's mustahab to fast every day, it's wajib to fast in Ramadan. It's mustahab to fast every other time, but it's not to fast on Eid. So he knows that after the month of Ramadan, you're not fasting. Because on Eid is haram to fast, and he knows that's when he has to come and misguide you. So he's waiting all this time. So it is said that in the time of peace, right? I mean, it is a strategy that everyone has, that in the time of peace you get ready for war. Right? So since we are not dealing with shaitan in Ramadan, so we should get ready for the war with shaitan on Eid. So inshallah, the 2 weeks that I'm here, the subject of my speeches will be about shaitan. To know shaitan, and we all know him to some extent. You know, if we are not with him, he's with us every day. So, but we need to recognize him. And we need to know the tools and the means that he uses to misguide us, to deceive us, to trick us. If we don't know those means, or those wasail, those wasila, that he uses to misguide us, then it means we are already misguided. We are already misguided if we don't know that. So we need to know it so that we are able to protect ourselves and defend ourselves from his plots and his plans. So inshallah, hopefully we'll get into that from tomorrow. Just as an introduction today, we read this ayat for you in Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani Adam. He says, did we not take an oath from you? An ahad. an oath from you, O children of Adam. We took an oath from you. Allah ta'budu shaitan, that you will not worship shaitan. You will not obey shaitan. Innahu lakum adubu mubeen, he is your open enemy. Wa ane'buduni, that you shall worship me. Hada siratun mustaqeen. This is the straight path. So, here, just want to, as an introduction, explain some things to you so we can start the topic from tomorrow. And that is that as a Muslim and as a mu'min, if we don't make any dua to Allah, right, it is alright. We should. We should make dua to Allah. Dua is the weapon of the Anbiya. Dua is the shield of the believers. We should be making dua. But let's say if you don't make any dua, you know, you can still be a mu'min, you can still be a Muslim. But you cannot be a Muslim by not making one particular dua. If you're a Muslim, you have to make it. Meaning there's only one dua that Allah has made wajib on you that you have to make. You have to read this dua. And not just once a day, but 10 times a day. You have to read this. So what is that dua where he has to read, that you have to read this dua 10 times a day at least? If you don't read it, you cannot be a Muslim. You cannot be a Muslim if you don't read it. You see, this is why, you know, 5 times, if you're a Muslim, then you have to pray 5 times a day. I mean, yes, I mean, nowadays, you know, you can still be a Muslim and not pray. Any Muslims do that anyway, you know. But there used to be a time that the sign of a Muslim was prayer, right? So if you pray 5 times a day, and if you're a Muslim, you're going to pray 5 times a day, right? So when you are going to pray 5 times a day, then in prayer, you have to say Surah Fatiha. You have to Surah Fatiha 2 times, please, right? And if you are going to say it 2 times, then that makes it 10 times you recite Surah Fatiha, if you are a Muslim. Every day you have to recite, at least. If you do more than that, it's alright. But 10 times a day is wajib. And 10 times a day in Surah Fatiha, there is one dua that you are making. One dua in Surah Fatiha, that is Ahdina Siratul Mustaqim. Ahdina Siratul Mustaqim. Allah guide us to the right path. Siratul Mustaqim. Just, I want you to understand this. You know, this, we are making this dua. Hence, a mu'min wants to be on the right path. A Muslim wants to be on Siratul Mustaqim. He is making that dua. Allah has made it wajib for him to make. If you don't make any other dua, this dua you have to make. At least 10 times. You have to make this dua. So when you're making this dua, it shows that we as Muslims are told to yearn to be on the right path. To be on Siratul Mustaqim. So just, what is this Siratul Mustaqim? We need to understand that. At first, a little bit about what is Sirat, this word. We have heard this word a lot as Muslims. All it means is a road or a way. We have in our ideology that we are going to walk over the bridge that's going to go over hell. Right? That is also called Sirat. Meaning the way to heaven is over hell. You know, so when you want to go to heaven also, you have to pass that bridge in order to get there. So it is a way, a path. Any way or a path is called Sirat. Now the nature of Sirat, or any path, any road, any way, the nature of the road, or any way, is that if that road is correct, if the way is right, then the more you walk on it, the more you travel on it, the closer you get to your destination.
Yes.
Suppose when you get to your destination, if you want to go from here to Chicago, what's the highway that goes from here to Chicago? 55. Right? So, if you took the right highway, then the more you travel on it, the closer you get to your destination. Right? If it's right. But if it's wrong, then the more you travel on it, the further away you get from your destination.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. You see, if you took the wrong highway, then the more you travel on it, the further away you get to your destination from your destination. So in order to get back to your destination, you have to retrace your step and then travel on the right path. So it means that if the road is correct, then it doesn't matter if you're going fast or slow, you're heading in the right direction and you're heading closer to your destination. But if the path is wrong, right, then you're going away from the destination. So that person is better who never got on the path than that person who went on the wrong path.
Yes, sir.
You see, if someone didn't even start the journey, he's better off.
Yeah.
Because he can make the intention and start right away. But the one who's walking on the crooked path, on the wrong path, then he is going away from the destination. So this is the reason, my friend, understand this. To us, it is very important to know which is the right Islam. Because if you are walking on the right Islam, then you can walk fast or you can walk slow. You are heading in the right direction.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
But that person who has never walked on the path is better than that Muslim who is walking on the wrong path.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Because that Muslim who is walking on the wrong path, he is going away from Allah. So that non-Muslim is better who never walked on the path, who can just get on and start walking.
Wow.
And you'll see this, right? Many things and everything. You know, I'll give an example that you all can relate to because I know through teaching it. Right? You know, when we teach, for example, the recitation of Quran, you know, And you see that we have, for example, Americans who start learning Quran in Arabic, right? Now when you start teaching them, for example, you go to Alif Ba Ta Tha, and so, I mean, right away they start, you know, they learn to say Dha, Wala Dhaaleen. Now, those Desi who have learned the Urdu pronunciation, right? Now they're so used to it, now you try to teach them that they're saying wah, wah, wah all the time. You see, if you have learned it wrong, it's so hard to now learn it right than that person who never learned it at all. This is why as a mu'min and as a Muslim, we have to make sure that the Islam we are following, the path we are following is mustaqim. The path that we are following is mustaqim. That is why it's so important. So now, what is this sirat al-mustaqim? What is the definition of sirat al-mustaqim? Right? What is the sirat al-mustaqim? That is something that, let me explain that, you send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah mentions this dua in Surah Fatiha. In Surah Fatiha, Allah mentions this dua, right? And He says in that dua, say, ahdina sirat al-mustaqim, when He mentions sirat al-mustaqim. And He defines that in Surah Yasin. He gives the definition of sirat al-mustaqim in Surah Yasin. And He says, alam ahad ilaykum ya bani adam. Did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam? Allah ta'budu shaitan. That you will not obey shaitan. You will not do ibadat of shaitan. You will not worship shaitan. Right? You will not worship shaitan. Wa innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. He's your open enemy. Wa ana abuduni. And that you shall worship me. Hadha sirat mustaqim. This is the straight path. This is sirat mustaqim. So what is it? He says sirat al-mustaqim is two things. Sirat-e-Mustaqim is two things. One, not to obey shaitan. And second, to obey Allah. If you have these two things, then it's Sirat-e-Mustaqim. These two things. If you put these two things together, you have Sirat-e-Mustaqim. So, you cannot worship shaitan. And you have to worship Allah. Two things. So if you take this definition in mind, we can divide the whole world in three groups of people according to this definition. The whole world is divided into three groups of people according to this definition. Look at this definition, you see it. First, there's that group, there's a group of people who are muhtaat, who do ihtiyat. Conscious. You know, this is their path. Their path is ihtiyat. What is their path? They look at this and say, Allah is on one side, shaitan is on the other side. So, in their minds, they look at this and they say, this is a fight between Allah and shaitan. This fitna is between Allah and shaitan. We will do ihtiyat, we will not be on Allah's side nor shaitan's side. So they have decided not to worship Allah and not to worship shaitan. And in their view, they're thinking that, listen, this is fitna and we don't get involved in politics. We don't get involved in politics. And this is just a fitna between Allah and shaitan. And Islam says no politics. So, we will not get involved in any politics. So, to them they say, you know, we will not obey Allah, we will not obey shaitan. Right? We will not obey either. Neither of them. So, alright, what do you obey then? What do you follow? Say, well, we follow what we think is right. Whatever we think is right, we'll do. Neither do we do what Allah says, neither do we do what shaitan says. We will do whatever our heart feels like doing, whatever I want to do, whatever I think is right. Right? This is the whole group of people in the world, you will see this. And you will see this ideology in them. This ideology in them that, listen, I will do what I think is right. So if you ask them, hey, you know, like, who do you follow? I say, I don't follow anyone, I follow myself. I'll do what I think is right. This is the whole group, and why are they doing it? Because they don't want to get involved with Allah, not shaitan. This is their fight, we don't want to get involved in it. We are doing what we think is right, whatever our heart says. Now, shaitan is looking at these people and laughing at them. Shaitan is looking at these people and laughing at them. Because they are thinking they are rejecting shaitan. They think that they reject shaitan, but shaitan is laughing at them and saying, do you know who I am? Do you want to know me? If you want to know me, ask Allah who I am. And Allah will tell you. You think that you are following your desires, your heart, whatever you think is right. Ask Allah how I misguide. And Allah has made it clear that shaitan, the way he misguides you, is yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas. He whispers in your heart, meaning shaitan's capital, shaitan's operating room is your heart. If you think you're following your desires, you're not. You're following shaitan's insinuations. You're following shaitan's insinuations, not your heart. He is making you believe that you follow yourself. He said, no, it is shaitan that you're following. These are those people. Again, their ideology that I don't want to do anything that Allah says, nor that I don't get involved in this. That's one. Then there's another group of people. And they also are muhtaat. They also do ihtiyat, precaution. You know, take precaution. But their precaution is different. Their way of doing ihtiyat is different. Now what do they do? To them they say, listen, Allah is saying this, that if you don't obey me, you know, that you're going to be punished. And Shaitan is also saying, you know, that if you don't do this, I'm going to hurt you. So now, what do we do? So they decided, you know what? Let's be cautious and do ihtiyat. Who knows who's more powerful? So let's obey both of them. Right? We'll do something that Allah says and we'll do something that Shaitan says. Right? We'll do something that Allah says and Shaitan. We'll obey both of them. Who knows after we die who's more powerful? If Allah wins, then you can say Allah, we follow you. If Shaitan wins, you say Shaitan, we're with you. Right? I mean, you have this group of people also. And they are saying that we'll do some of this, we'll do some of that. You'll see this whole huge group also. They'll do halal and they'll do haram. They'll do halal to please Allah, they'll do haram to please Shaitan. They'll do both, haram and halal. For example, they'll earn through halal means and they'll earn through halal, haram means. Right? They'll do something halal, for example, you know, like for example, the whole month of Ramadan, mashallah, they'll be fasting and making dua and praying and this and that. And on the day of Eid and their wedding, they'll be dancing. You know? So this dua and all these things was to please Allah. And this dancing is to please Shaitan. You know, we need to please Shaitan also. We need to please Allah also. So you have this group of people also who want to please both Allah and Shaitan. Now Allah is making it clear. He's saying, listen, both these group are wrong. Both these group are wrong. Why? It's because Sirat al-Mustaqim doesn't mean to obey both Allah and Shaitan or to reject both Allah and Shaitan. Sirat al-Mustaqim means that you must reject Shaitan and you must obey him. This is Sirat al-Mustaqim. You have to reject Shaitan and you have to obey Allah. This is what Sirat al-Mustaqim is. If you are obeying Shaitan, you are not on Sirat al-Mustaqim. If you are disobeying Allah, you cannot be on Sirat al-Mustaqim. If you have both these things, then this is Sirat al-Mustaqim. And Islam, the whole message of Islam is just this, my friends. The whole message of Islam is just this. When Rasulullah came, he gave the same message. Disobey Shaitan, obey Allah. He said, disobey Shaitan, obey Allah. But he said in a more simpler term that we have all memorized. The same concept, the same meaning, he has said in a different way. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha is means to disobey Shaitan, illallah means to obey Allah.
Marhaba.
You see that? Just this tawheed, the kalama tawheed, la ilaha illallah, is the basis. And this is what Allah is saying. There are two things you have to do in life. You have to disobey what Shaitan says, and you have to obey what I say. Two simple ways that we have to do. It's not hard. It's not complicated. You know, there's no hard equations involved. Very simple. Disobey what Shaitan says, obey what I say. My friends, if we follow this, then we would know. Right? That what it means to be a follower. Those who were on Sirat al-Mustaqim understood. You see, those who were on Sirat al-Mustaqim understood what La ilaha illallah meant. What did it mean? Right, when La ilaha illallah was introduced by the Prophet. What did it mean? They understood that. You see, When the messenger came, when Rasulullah came, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam,
when he came, you look at this and you will understand it, my friends. When he came, he said, Qulu la ilaha illallah tuflu. Say la ilaha illallah and you'll be successful. As the person in charge of the religion, he's saying that if you say La ilaha illallah, then you will be successful in dunya and akhirat. I promise you, Jannah, if you say La ilaha illallah. How easy was it for those people then if they had said, okay, if I say La ilaha illallah, I'm good. So those kuffar of Makkah should have said, okay, if he's promising Jannah, in place of saying La ilaha illallah, let's all say it, La ilaha illallah. I mean, if you were a businessman, that's a good deal. It's actually a steal. All I need to say to is La ilaha illallah, Jannah. This is better than Christianity. You know, there at least you have to believe in Jesus your Savior. Here you just have to say La ilaha illallah. There you have to believe, oh, he's your Savior and this and that. But here you say La ilaha illallah and you're saved. That's it. They should have done it. But understand, why didn't they do it? If Islam was so easy, why didn't they do it?
Very good.
Because he didn't say, believe in La ilaha illallah. He didn't say, okay, you know, you have to practice La ilaha. He said, Qulu, meaning say it with your tongue. Say it, La ilaha illallah. They could have said it, and they would have been saved. But why did they do it, if it was so simple? Because my friends, the way Rasulullah led his life, and the way that he preached La ilaha illallah, made everyone understand that it is not just saying it. La ilaha illallah has a whole different meaning. You see, if Rasulullah had said, okay, say Allah, we don't know what would have come. In fact, they all came and offered that. They said, listen, we will worship Allah also. In fact, we'll have one day especially for Allah. Right? One day out of the whole year especially for Allah, and you can keep him in the Kaaba, and we will worship him with all our 365 other angels. You know, Allah, Manat, Uzza, and all that. There, Allah, you can keep him there. We'll have a special place for him there. You're the highest shelf. You know, you can keep him there. Right? He came there. I mean, they offered that. They were ready to worship Allah. So, kuffar never have a problem with Allah. My friends, understand this. Batil never has a problem with Allah.
Allah.
The problem they have is with La ilah. They said, don't say La ilah. And we'll accept your Allah. But this La ilah is what's turning us off. I said, Batil has always been the case. Also, it has always been the same. They said, we don't have problem with Allah. The problem we have is when you say La ilah. And when you ask us to denounce our gods, that's the problem we have. That Batil always had that, and they still have that problem. They don't say, hey, listen, we have a problem with your Islam and this and that, but the only problem we have is with this La ilah. Don't say that our system is bad. Don't say that our way of life is bad. Don't say that our religion is bad or our God is bad. But you see, Allah is making it clear. You cannot get to Allah unless you go through La ilaha. You cannot get to Allah. It is only a delusion in the minds of believers who think that they can worship Allah and they don't do La ilaha. That is not Allah that they are worshipping. If they want to worship Allah, first they must establish La ilaha. They must establish La ilaha. That's why, in order to get to Rasulullah, my friends, Rasulullah is the representative of Allah. In order to get to Rasulullah, you have to go beyond those idols and beyond those munafiqeen. Then you will reach Rasulullah. If you accepted Rasulullah with those munafiqeen, then that's not Rasulullah you are with.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's not Rasulullah you are with. You have to denounce those hypocrites and those munafiqeen and those who are on the batil. Then you can accept Rasulullah. Understand this. If you want to get to Ali, then you have to denounce those who stood up against him. If you don't denounce that, you haven't done La ilaha yet.
Marhaba.
And hence you cannot reach Ali. This is why, if you want to be a follower of Imam Hassan, then you have to denounce Muawiyah who stood up against him.
Subhanallah.
If you're saying, no, he's also fine, but we That's not even Muslimness. That's not Allah's path then. That's not Sirat al-Mustaqim then. It looks like Imam Hassan, but it's not.
Very good.
It looks like him, but it's not. It looks like Islam. It has the shape of Islam. It has the figure of Islam. But it's not. It's a mirage. It's a delusion. They don't understand that. You have to cross La Ilaha. If you do not cross La Ilaha, you can never reach Allah. You can never reach her. Let me explain that with a hadith if you send me salams. My friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn Sayyidi Shabab Ahl al-Jannah. We said that Hasan and Husayn are the chiefs of paradise. Right? Are the chiefs of paradise. Now here obviously the literal translation is they're the chiefs of the youth of paradise. But everyone who goes to heaven is youth. You know, and really, the reason is this, right? What they don't understand is this, that those people who think that, you know, they use this hadith to say that, you know, and such persons are the chiefs of the elders of paradise. It's a paradise. But the reason youth is mentioned there is because there is no such thing as young and old in the hereafter.
Awesome.
The ruh has no effect with time. It is the body that's affected with time. The body is affected with time. We grow old, the body grows old, the ruh doesn't grow old. The ruh has nothing to do with time. And hence we have young and old in this dunya. There's no young and old there. There's no time there. The concept of time is not there. It's not affecting us there. So to say that, you know, young and old, this and that, he mentioned that to say that everyone who goes to heaven, Allah will make him go in the best form that he had so he can remember his best days. The best form that he had in his life. He'll make him go there so that he remembers that. It is I who am going there. He'll know that. So, he says that Hasan and Husayn are the chiefs of paradise. Salawat ala
Muhammad.
Now, when we look at this hadith, many people think that this hadith means that when we go to heaven, then Imam Hasan and Imam Husayn will be our leaders. When we go to heaven, they will be our leaders. No, that's not what the hadith means. What the hadith is meaning is that those who are going to heaven are known here in dunya. And the sign that they're going to heaven is that Imam Hasan is the leader in this dunya, and that's why he will be the leader in the hereafter.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
So those who have accepted and taken Imam Hasan as their leader here, he will be the leader in the Akhirat. Those who haven't accepted him here, I don't know what they're waiting for. I have no clue what they're waiting for. Right? What are they expecting? Over there they would go and say that, okay, Hasan is our leader. The choice is here. You choose your leader here, you don't choose it there. Right? That's why Allah says, يَوْمَ نَلْغُكُ اللَّهُ نَاسِبْ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On that day of judgment, everyone will be called with their imam. The imam is not chosen there, he's chosen here. If he's your imam here, you'll be called with him there. If he wasn't your imam here, then don't expect him to be your imam there. My friends, we have to make Imam Hasan our imam. Allah has appointed him. Imamah is from Allah. Imamah is from him. Allah has said that, listen, this is the imam. But choosing him as the imam is our job. We have to choose him. We have to choose Imam Hasan as our Imam. Is he our Imam?
Yes.
See, again, words won't do. Words won't do, you know, because whenever we say yes, then we have to ask ourselves 1,000 questions. Right? So, it's better to ask those questions before we say yes. Right? So that when we do say yes, we say it with certainty. And that way, when we ask those 1,000 questions before we say yes, then we don't have to say yes. It's Imam Hasan who will say yes.
SubhanAllah.
Right? But the question is that we say yes without asking ourselves the questions. Right? The question is that, am I really a follower? Am I following his path? His way? When I wake up in the morning, do I think, okay, what did Imam Hasan do right now? Is that in my mind, or am I thinking that I'll do what I want to do? My friends, this is what it means that when we say Ahlul Bayt are our leaders, it means that we are thinking, what would they do if they were in our place all the time? Because we want to follow their seerah and their sunnah. That's what we want to follow. That's when they become your leader. You know, would he have done that? They're always in our mind. If he was here, would he have done such a thing? Then we will understand. If yes, you know what? If we start behaving like that, if we start living our lives like that, then we don't have to say we are the Shia, and we don't have to call to the Imam. It is the Imam who calls us. It is the Imam who calls us. If we start living our life the way they have done, then the Imam knows that these are the people I trust. These are the people I trust. That's why you see that to be, you know, that we live our lives, if he is our leader, then we are leading our lives the way he did. He did. And when we do that, then he becomes our leader, my friends. Understand this. This is how leadership is there. If he is your Sayyid, if he is your leader and your chief, it means you're doing what he has done. If we can understand that, my friends, it's not easy to do what the Imams have done. And what Imam Hasan went through, it's not easy to go through a time like that and be a Shia Imam Hasan. Really, our salam goes to the companions of Imam Hasan who stuck with him, who were firm with him. Because the trial that Imam Hasan faced, Imam Hussein did not face that trial. Imam Hussein did not face that trial that Imam than what Imam Hasan had faced. You know, Imam Hussein's stand was very clear. So it was easy on the Shia to recognize where Imam Hussein is standing. Imam Hasan's stand was very difficult. It was difficult for even the best Shias to understand where Imam Hasan was standing. And the hardest time for any Shia is when the stand of his Imam is not clear for him. If he doesn't know where the Imam is standing, how the Imam is standing, where is he inclining, what is he leaning towards? When you don't know that, then you don't know where to stand with him. This is why it is in those trials that a true Shia is known, not in the trials of that Imam Hussein went through. This is the reason why you see Imam Hussein had more followers than Imam Hasan, because the trial of Imam Hussein was much more difficult. You know, it was much more difficult. And I want you to understand this. Muawiyah was a greater enemy than Yazid. Right? Muawiyah was a greater enemy. When you have an aggressive enemy, well, you know, it's very easy. You know he's the enemy. But when you have a sly and a sneaky enemy, that is very difficult. Right? To understand that. You know? Really. If you want to make a comparison, then you can make a comparison from the Bush administration to this administration. Right? Where one is bold and brash and aggressive, and the other one is sneaky and sophisticated.
Very good.
But the job is the same.
Yeah.
Right? The job is the same. You see, it's easier to understand where we stand if we have a foot as president. I mean, there's no hard, there's nothing to think about here. Right? It's very clear. But when you have a sophisticated administration that wants to have diplomacy instead of aggression, then it becomes difficult to understand where do we stand. Right? What is our stand? This is the difference between Muawiyah and Yazid. Yes, he was aggressive, he was brash, he was bold. Muawiyah was clever, sneaky, and sly. And that's why you see that Imam Hassan had such a hard time convincing his Shias where he's standing and why he's standing there. And so the Shias who were with Imam Hassan, they were like looking at him and they're saying that, you know, you have left the path of your father. You know, your father would have acted like this. And, you know, they said to him many worse things than that. But you see, why are they doing it? But these are not enemies, these are friends. These are Shia, those who accepted Imam Ali and Imam Hassan. But they couldn't understand what he's doing. So they came to him and they slandered him in his face. Very difficult, my friends, to understand at that time. This is why, really, we need to appreciate what Imam Hassan went through in order to make sure that the truth is clear, even with an opposition like Muawiyah. Even with an opposition like Muawiyah, he was able to make it clear. Right? He was able to make it clear. This is why you see that even when you look back at Rasulullah, when you look back at Imam Ali, you'll see Imam Ali, you know, in his life, when you look at the struggle he had done for Allah, you know, you see that there are two types of victories that Imam Ali had won for Islam. One victory was in the battles, you know, Khaybar, Khandaq, Badr, Hunayn, and all these places. And the other victory was in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And Allah called the Treaty of Hudaybiyah the greater victory, the obvious victory. Khaybar was also a victory, Khandaq was also a victory, but Hudaybiyah was a clear and more obvious victory. Such clear, so Allah says, this is a clear victory for you, an obvious victory for you. And Khaybar and Khandaq were, yeah, victories too. Fateh Makkah, yes, it's a victory. But it's not a clear victory. Hudaybiyah was a clear victory. So Imam Ali had won two victories for Islam. One was through battles, one was through the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. In battles, he used Dhulfiqar to win. And in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, he used the pen to win. So Imam Ali had such a great and vast and comprehensive personality that for Allah, he won two types of victories. He had the pen and he won victories through the pen. He had the sword and he won victories through the sword. So it was only right that he has two inheritors. One who's going to inherit the pen, the other who's going to inherit the sword. And hence Imam Hassan was the one who inherited the pen of Imam Ali, and Imam Hussein inherited the sword of Imam Ali. Imam Hassan won victory through the pen and made that treaty that defeated Muawiyah's plan and the plan of evil, and Hussein used the sword of Ali to defeat the plans of Shaitan on both sides. So my friends, this is my friend understand Imam Hassan, that we can understand a little bit of his life today so that we know who he is and what his stand was, so that we can make ourselves closer to him and understand that. And even in our times, understand truth by looking at what type of battle you're facing. Understand truth, because if the batil is not aggressive, then the truth will not be that clear. But if the batil is sneaky and sly and clever, you'll see the truth will also have to be okay. You know, you can't be aggressive now. You have to lay back and wait for the right time to expose the batil. So we have to understand that in our times also, where the truth is and where the truth is. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir al-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salaamu alaikum.